okay, you can relax. So, as it turns out, there is, in the eyes of the rabbis of the Talmud, a connection between the two holidays that we're in between right now. We just finished, of course, celebrating Purim, and in a short period of time, we will have the holiday of Pesach, Passover. Now, the rabbis say that there's a thematic connection between the two holidays. Does anybody want to speculate on what the connections might be? There's some very big similarities between the two stories, the two narratives. I'm giving you a little hint by telling you where to look for similarities. There's two kings in the story. There's Pharaoh and there's Ahasuerus. Yes, what else? Mel, I always get a chiddush from you. Yeah, it's true. You're always supposed to drink a lot on both holidays. You know, on Purim, you drink enough so that you don't know if you're blessing or cursing Haman or Mordechai. Correct. And then on Passover, of course, you have four cups of wine, which, believe me, actually, in a real Seder, you are supposed to drink rov kos, which means you just don't take a sip of the wine. You drink the majority of the cup. So you could be doing some serious drinking on both holidays. What I do the sip. Or you could do grape juice and avoid the problem altogether. What else? What's that? Heroic women are in both stories, both narratives. We have the course, who are the heroic women in Purim? Esther. Who else? Vashti. I think Vashti. And in the Passover story, Miriam. Okay, what else? Yeah, Hope. Jewish people are on the brink of destruction in both narratives. In Purim, Ahasuerus sends out an edict that the Jewish people should be killed in Persia. And of course, you know, the Jewish people in the story of the Exodus, in Exodus, are very much in threat. Whether it's the whims of the king, whether or not the firstborn should be killed or not killed, whether they should be subjected to incredibly hard labor. So it's in both situations. And of course, in the narrative of Passover, there's the potential for extermination at the Sea of Reeds, at Yom Suf, when the Israelites have left Egypt and the whole Egyptian army is bearing down on them with, I think it's fair to say, murderous intent. What else? Mordechai and Moses, what do you mean?
The two heroes.
Two heroes, right? Mordechai and Moses. But, okay, fair enough. Okay, any other ideas? Well, let me share a couple things which the Talmud brings. First of all, they say that it is the story of the two strong people who actually intervene in events. But they don't compare Moses to Mordechai. They compare Moses to Esther. Because Esther is the one who goes to the king and presents, you know, on behalf of the Jewish people. And so is it in the Exodus story, Moses. There's also a story, they have the sense of a theme, that both stories have a king that is very much, you know, a tyrant. You know, so you have these two people going in front of a tyrant, both Esther before Ahasuerus and Moses before Pharaoh, pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. They say that there's another similarity in that both of our heroes of the two respective stories have a support system. Esther has Mordechai. Moses has Aaron. So neither one of them were operating on their own, but rather they had the support of someone who was encouraging them to do the right thing, to guide them in their path. The rabbis also make a distinction that Purim and Passover coexist in the fact that they are exactly 30 days apart from each other. Every year, Purim is 30 days before Passover. It's 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Passover is 2 weeks after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And in both holidays, if you go outside on a clear night and look up into the sky, what are you going to see on both holidays? Full moon. So the rabbis say that there's a connection, that the holidays are bookmarks. Now, as you know, there are many New Years in the Jewish calendar. What's the most famous New Year that we have? Rosh Hashanah. But Nisan is also considered the New Year. And on top of it, like you have Tu B'Shvat, the New Year of Trees, and it goes on. So Nisan is considered as a new year. Now, what the rabbis noticed, and it's beautiful, is that the story of Purim ends the year, and the story of Passover, the holiday of Passover, begins the new year. And both of those stories are connected in that it's about redemption. So what do you have? You have Purim. You have the Jewish people at threat. There's the story of intervention of human beings to solve the problem. And our story ends on a happy note. Our year ends on a happy note. There were threats. There was redemption. And we made it through the year. Then what happens? We begin the year, and it's the same theme all over again. Threat, menace, and redemption in the form of the Exodus from Egypt. So what do you have? You have the year ending with hope and the year beginning with hope. And it's a lovely, lovely notion that no matter what happens to the Jewish people, there is always somehow we manage to come through. We manage to pull ourselves back together. We manage to somehow find a way to survive, you know, and to go on. When Josh Jacobson was here, I remember he was here for the music program a couple weeks ago, and he told a beautiful little passage. It's a famous Hasidic passage where he talks about an old man who doesn't have any money, and he's only got 2 coins left in his purse. And so he goes to the marketplace, and he buys 2 things. He buys a loaf of bread with 1 coin that he has left, and he buys a rose with the other. And the market, the merchant looks at him, and he knows that the man is poor. It's shtetl. Everybody knows everybody. And he says, I don't understand your purchase here. You know, these are your last 2 coins. You buy a loaf of bread with 1. I could understand. What are you buying the rose for? And he answers, I buy the loaf of bread so I can live. I bought the rose so that I can remind myself why I want to live. It's a beautiful idea that it's not enough just to go ahead and survive, that you need a reason to survive. You need a remembrance of the beauty of the world and the hope and the promise. And that if you don't have that, what's the point of just existing? So I think the holidays of Purim and Passover come along for just that purpose. It ends with hope. The year ends with a sense of that everything is possible. And the new year begins with the same message, that everything is possible. So as we end a year and we begin the year, we remind ourselves of our reason for living, that we can overcome obstacles, that we can create a beautiful world, that there's beautiful things in this world worth living for. And that beautiful transition of stopping 1 year and beginning a new year with a message of hope and the potential for beauty, I think is a really wonderful notion. So in this world, now, where we live, with all of the things that we see our people facing, whether it's in Europe, whether it's here in America, you know, when with the random acts of anti-Semitism that we do see, or, you know, in Israel, where this poor little country is surrounded by enemies so intent on doing damage, I think the message of Purim and Passover come together to remind us of our reason to live, and that hope and promise is the way we begin and end each year, and we begin and end each day. Not giving up, looking for the good, and recognizing that ultimately it's a beautiful world, and that somehow, some way, the Jewish people will persevere through it all. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shabbat.